Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Now my next guest coming up, he briefly became an atheist, which resulted in a deep depression. He considered himself a nihilist, just chasing the dunya, material world, material things. He questioned the meaning of life. He read the Bible, a lot of philosophy. Now, get this, during a plane journey, he sat next to, lo and behold, a Muslim who was praying. How's he praying? He was probably praying in his seat. And shamefully, he became very worried. He became very worried, like, you know, most people, because they're programmed by the media, and he was worried that maybe some terrorist situation might occur. But they started speaking, they started talking, and he gave him a lot of dawah. He was educating him, he was sharing with him, answering his questions. And he went on to investigate the things that he was told, and lo and behold, after about a month, he ended up taking his shahada. So what was he told? What's the shahada? What were those things they were discussing? And what was the conclusion after he investigated? What are the points that he investigated? All this and more with James Doolin here to share his story on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, James.
Walaikum salam.
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm very good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Isn't that amazing now? It's like you ended up taking your shahada through all this journey, and now you got a new brother from the 2 billion Muslims out there. You're part of this extended global international family, alhamdulillah, a brotherhood.
Alhamdulillah, yeah. You feel very at peace after you take the shahada, so I'm very happy that I've done it.
So was that accurate? So tell us, people are wondering, like, what was the conversation like that you had next to, describe that feeling before you had the conversation of you're like, okay, this is a Muslim, he's praying, and now he might be involved in some terrorist activity. What's going through your mind there?
Yeah, so it was actually strange that it happened, because I was going with my girlfriend and her twin sister. They're Bulgarian, so we were going over to there, and normally we sit next to each other, but this one time, the seats, we weren't sat next to each other. And I'm sat next to this Muslim brother, and I see him. I didn't know what he was doing at the time, but he had the Quran, Arabic. He's praying. He's, you know, rocking back and forward in his seat, and he's making dua. And it wasn't so much then I started worrying. It was when he had a bag, and I seen a tasbih come out of the bag, and they were, like, wired to something in his bag, which I'm wondering, where's that, you know, leading to? And I already knew a little bit about Islam, but then the other thing that had me worrying was when he started making prayer, because I had a Muslim I worked with, and he was explaining how no images, no idols. And he had, like, a photo, and I'm still not sure what the photo was, but it was of a guy who must be like a mentor or something, a Muslim brother, and he had in front of the Quran. So I'm thinking, this wired to the bag, and then I'm wondering the photo, maybe... You know, so I started worrying, and I'm pretty sure that he clicked on that I was worrying. I was, like, side-eyeing him the whole time on the chair looking. And then I got up the chair to go to the toilet, and as I was going to the toilet, so we were close, and the flight attendant, they seen that I was looking at him, and I was, like, worried. I was, like, behind him. And the flight attendant said to me, "Oh, don't worry, brother, he's just praying." And I said, "Yeah, okay." And then I've opened the door. And as I've opened the door, so, like, you know, the crack in the door that you can see through, like, when you open it. I've looked through the door, and the flight attendant's them, and I've gone, "No, I'm not," you know, I was embarrassed and very shameful. And then come out the toilet, he said, "Yeah, don't worry, he was just praying." And I was sat next to the brother, embarrassed, and I'm like, "I'm so sorry." I said, "I know, like, you know, I thought I should know better." And then obviously I'm following the Western media stereotype, worried. And but one thing that brought me closer again was his conduct. He was very I said sorry, and I was expecting him to kind of, like, brush me off, but he was very open, very like, "Oh, don't worry, brother, it doesn't matter." And then after that, he started calming me down. And then after this, we just got into normal discussion about where you're from, where he's from. And then after that, I started asking him about Ramadan, and this is when the conversation got deeper.
I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, we've had a lot of cases where people have, like, just been writing in something in Arabic, some calligraphy, yeah, reading the Quran, or saying Inshallah, Allahu Akbar, God willing, God is the greatest, yeah, like Hallelujah. And then people have actually like panicked, and some Muslims, yeah, actually got kicked off the plane because of that. So this is a real, I mean, you were actually experiencing that. You thought that this guy might be a terrorist trying to do something fishy here, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And especially even like now I'm Muslim. If I say Allahu Akbar in front of my friends, some of them in work or wherever, they'll look at me a bit strange because they don't understand that it just means God is the greatest. They'll think it's got this negative connotation that we see in the media, and they think it's like some war chant or something, like you're probably familiar. And, you know, try to explain to them.
So you were really, I mean, like most people, most of us, even myself, like in the early years, I mean, you don't know much, but you know what you've been kind of just programmed to kind of, yeah, think. Exactly. And sometimes you're not even paying attention. It's just coming in, and then you just like knee-jerk reaction. So you got affected by a lot of the media propaganda against Islam?
Yeah, yeah. If it's like further back in the timeline, when I remember when, I'm not sure how many years ago this would have been, maybe when I was 19, so I'm maybe about 7-8 years ago, I remember like vehemently being against Islam. Like when I was younger, I wanted to join the Royal Marines at one period. And part of that was because we had the Manchester bombing in England. And at the time, I thought not, because there was a lot of terrorist attacks in Europe. And I'm thinking, like, you know, just attributing it to Islam rather than the. And obviously now, it gives me a lot of patience now if I'm speaking with non-Muslims and they start asking me questions about Islam and I can see they're already judging. It gives me more patience because I know not to be impatient with them because they've, you know, how I was before.
So tell us a little bit more about the conversation. What was his name, the brother's name? Do you remember? Do you recall?
His name is Adam. Yeah, he said Adam after the first prophet. And then I was like, oh, that's great. And but just his conduct, he's always very smiling, you know, following the sunnah, smiling, very open speaking. We started speaking at the time. I'd already read the Bible and I believed in a creator. But I didn't, because of the contradictions in the Bible and these other things, I'd started going down the path of sort of what you'd call more like a Unitarian. Like I believed Jesus was a prophet of God, but I didn't believe that he was literally God. And so I started explaining to him my beliefs. And then after that, he started to say, oh, he's very close to Islam. And then he said, why you've never looked into Islam like properly? And I said, I don't know. I said, the only thing I'm not too familiar. I said, I knew there was like some pillars of faith, and he explained the pillars of faith. The only thing I wasn't familiar with was the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I wasn't familiar with his life. So this was what stopped me from becoming a Muslim at the time.
Yeah, for our audience, I mean, when we talk about the articles, the six articles of faith, belief in one God, belief in the angels, is this what he was going over? Belief in the messengers, belief in the books, the divine books that were revealed, belief in the day of judgment and divine decree, predestination. This is the kind of things that he was going over with you?
Yeah, yeah, these were all the different things he's going over. And I'm agreeing with all of them. And as I'm agreeing, he's smiling, saying, brother, he's saying, you're already close to Islam now. And I'm starting to second guess myself. And at the time, I made a promise. I said, I promise when I get off the plane, I will buy a Quran and read it to further my knowledge, understand it.
Now, before that, before you even got to that point where you were questioning the meaning of life, you talk about that you were a nihilist.
Yeah, very nihilistic. When I was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I sort of put on a lot of weight. At the time, I'd always been competing in mixed martial arts and other things. And at the time, I put on a lot of weight, become very nihilistic. And thought, I remember one of the worst points was I remember just being outside work one time. And I was just sitting on a motorbike and just, I'm looking at, it was a guy from night shift. I remember he's going to the day shift. He's going, you know, as we change over. And I'm seeing it's the same guy that I'm seeing every day when I'm going outside. And I'm looking at him again thinking, this is what we're doing every day. I'm thinking, what's the point? Why even bother? Like, you know, and become very nihilistic about life, thinking if there's no point of being here, why, you know, why don't I do X, Y, Z, you know, like all these negative things.
And then you went on. So you were, Were you brought up? Was your family? What kind of background would your family have? Were they? You're obviously from the United Kingdom, from London.
No, I'm from Warrington. It's in between Liverpool and Manchester.
Liverpool and Manchester. So you're from the UK.
Yeah.
What was your family background? What kind of, did they practice any religion? Were they atheists?
No, it's like not really. So obviously they'll come to it from sort of like a sign. Like I heard you speaking with Sabah. Like scientism, like that sort of angle, where they believe in evolution. Maybe more, they'd say like agnostic if you ask them, because they just don't really think about it. Like a lot, many people in the UK and England, like if I speak about Islam, they'll say, "Oh, so you don't believe in science," which obviously is not true. But they just think it counteracts. You know, like it's not the two don't coincide together.
Mm-hmm. So do you see a? Do you see more? I mean, were you at that point, like, what had you go more towards atheism then? How did you end up getting drawn into that? And you said that was just
I just sort of grown up sort of in that way of thinking. So I was I was always kind of in that way of thinking, where religions, you know, it's like to control the masses. It's not something to be taken seriously in this thing. Not that my mum and dad ever spoke to me about it or were negative, because they're both like very open with people. It was just that was kind of like the trail of thinking growing up. Like it wasn't, you weren't spoken to in school seriously about religion or any of these other things. So it was only when, you know, you kind of go out, you're drinking all the time with your friends, you're enjoying life. And then after that, you know, and you're chasing the dunya. And I seen one quote and it like is very relatable, where it said, when chasing the dunya is like salt water, when you drink it, you become more thirsty. And this is kind of like the perspective I had at the time. I was enjoying life, but as I'm doing more and more drinking, more partying and things, I'm just not happy with life. Like I'm second guessing myself.
So even though some people might think like, okay, you're able to party, you're able to drink, you're able to indulge in all your desires, are you telling us that you're still not happy? What's that feeling like?
Yeah. Just an emptiness, you know, just the emptiness in your heart. And, it's hard to explain. I know a lot of depressed people who I will have spoken to before, they'll understand the same thing. And sometimes it can be hard when you become a Muslim, because we have that peace. We want to, you know, if someone tells me like they're depressed now, I want to give them all the information on Islam, because I know that it's like the cure. But unless, you know, like you can't learn all the information in one day.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you actually, from there, did you go on? So from there, you went on to read the Bible?
Yeah, I read the Bible. A lot of the Old Testament stuff, I sort of understood more. It was more when the cracks started appearing when it comes to the New Testament, because you can see the clear difference in writing style. So the Old Testament, obviously, it's not like an authored biography, sort of like the New Testament is. And then the New Testament is very, like, I thought it was very preachy. No disrespect to any of the Christian brothers out there, but it just didn't. And then after that, I'm looking up for the contradictions, and I'm seeing that verses were added that weren't previously there. The Nicene Council, the early church fathers, they didn't believe in a Trinity. That, you know, they were very monotheistic. And then I think it was after the first 300 years, the Nicene Council, it was like a doctrine. So this made me start to question Christianity, to where at the time I'm thinking more like this Unitarian Christian, where Jesus was a prophet of God, and I'm more like monotheistic in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking, I remember as well, sorry, that I remember the biggest problem with that is thinking that if this is the truth, if this is God's revelation, I'm thinking, how can it be for such a small, you know, like there's not many, you don't meet very many Unitarian Christians on the planet. So I'm thinking, if this is God's revelation, how can it be corrupt? You know, the Bible and these other revelations.
And what else? How about like the concept of atonement, of Jesus dying for your sins? How did that fit with you or not fit with you?
Yeah, at the time, I didn't really think about it. It was only, you know, I started thinking about Jesus dying for your sins. And I watched, I don't know, in England, we have a lot of debates in Speaker's Corner. It's a park in England. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Yeah.
But I watched a Muslim debate and a Christian, and he said, how is this just, that the most just man could die for everybody else's sins. Like, it's, if you think about it logically, it's not just, is it? So this made me start to second guess that. And I remember there was there's another communist guy, I believe, he debated Jordan Peterson. And I remember that sat with me a lot, where he said to Jordan Peterson, he said, Christians are more atheistic than atheists because you believe God died. So it's like there's an absence of God. There's no rules. And he said that that makes you more atheistic than atheists. Wow. And I don't know, that just kind of like sat with me, like it's true. There's no, and even praying before, like I'm always praying to God. And then I remember praying with another Christian brother one time. It's like, to Jesus, you know, peace be upon him. But it just doesn't logically fit that you're praying to a man, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when you were praying, what would, like, your before Islam, what kind of typical prayer, like how would you pray to God?
You know, I'd pray a lot of the time on my knees still, with my hands out, more like making dua. And I would be, if I was speaking, I'd be saying, you know, to the Father, not the Son.
Mm-hmm. So to the Christians, the Father is like, that's Allah, God Almighty, the Creator. This is the, and then this is the main head of the Trinity for the Christian. But for Muslims, it's just one, no Trinity, just one God. Leave it alone. Don't add, delete, nothing. Just pure
monotheism. Images.
Yes.
Well, it's very hard in England about explaining Islam, as I see a lot of times I'll be explaining, and a lot of non-Muslim English people will say, how can you believe in a man in the clouds? And I'm saying, this isn't Christianity. You know, we don't believe in a father. The creator of the world, we don't give any images. And this is, and I explain why we fall into this hole, why we don't give him an image.
Well, is that kind of like the common concept of God Almighty, the Creator? Is they believe that like he's some old man with kind of a beard and in the clouds somewhere? That's how they have an image of the Creator.
Yeah, maybe any sort of religion. I know most English people, it'll only really come from sort of grandparents or great grandparents. So, and it's more Christian based. They don't really speak with Muslims too much about, I don't know why. It's kind of like two inclusive communities where they maybe need to speak more of each other to give knowledge. But a lot of English people, they won't understand. Like, even if I say in Islam we have Jesus, they're shocked, a lot of them. They're like, I didn't know that Jesus was, you believe Jesus was a prophet of God. And I remember one woman in work one time, she was asking me a question. I think she was a Christian, and she was asking me about the Mother Mary, and I was explaining to her that we have a whole surah about the Mother Mary, and she was, you know, shocked. She couldn't believe it.
So they don't know a lot of, that's why it's so important, you know, education and sharing, like this brother Adam did on the plane. And after you guys had that conversation, after he shared some of the teachings of Islam with you, like, what did you investigate? Like, something, obviously it intrigued you. You left that conversation. You went to investigate. Like, describe to us how you investigate. How did you go ahead and conclude that indeed Islam was the truth?
So as soon as I got off the plane, I bought the Quran, a translation of the Quran. I don't believe it was the best translation, but I read it anyway. And I know a lot of Muslims will say the same thing. Like, it was night and day for me, reading the Bible to reading the Quran, because the Quran, it just felt like, you know, you do feel like God's speaking directly to you, as opposed to with the Bible, a lot of the times it feels more like you're a fly on the wall. You're overlooking what somebody else is narrating. Whereas when you're reading the Quran, a lot of the times you're thinking of things, and as you're thinking about things, he's giving you the answer, or he's speaking, and it was a lot more impactful. And there's a lot of the times as well about punishment and reward for things. And I'm like, wow, that's very deep. But after I got off the plane, I went and looked at the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I was trying to pick holes. I was thinking, you know, I was still thinking, I'm surely going to find a hole in this. So I thought there'll be a hole in the story. And then I watched a lot of debates about how he was called the most trustworthy, how everyone, you know, when they would, if someone went away on holiday or something, or they had to leave for a period of time, they would give the Prophet their items, because they knew when they come home, they could trust him. So this was like, and then I was trying to pick holes in, well, what would be, you know, like if someone commits a crime, what's the motive? So I was thinking, he must have, you know, like got power and that's why he wanted to do it. And then you find out that actually he already had the power, and now him and all his family are being persecuted after. So it was, there wasn't any holes. And then you're logically looking at him thinking, it has to be the prophet of God. It can't, you know, you can't find any holes unless, you know, I see sometimes the debates and people will go on a tangent, like you'll get atheists and they'll say, oh, maybe the devil influenced them. But you think if you're an atheist, you don't believe, you know, they're just being intellectually dishonest because they don't want to accept it.
Well, that's really profound. Like, yeah, why? If you're an atheist, you're saying the devil inspired him, but you shouldn't even be believing in the devil if you are a so-called atheist. And I like what you said. So you went back and you're trying to trip him up. You're trying to see, like, okay, if he's an imposter, he's a fraud, and you're using just common sense.
Yeah. I'm thinking surely there'll be a hole. I remember as well when I realized I was accepting Islam, I was still away on holiday, but I was like stressing, like, you know, everyone thinks if you accept the religion, if you accept, you know, you're very at peace straight away. But I wasn't like that. I was very stressed out thinking about, you know, having to tell family, friends, all these things that I used to do that I'd have to give up. So it was like stressing for 2 weeks, and I'm preparing to tell my girlfriend, thinking maybe we'll split up at the time as well. And but no, you know, when something is set for you by Allah, he always finds, as long as you trust in him, he'll always find a way to help you out of the situation. So that's what I've found so far.
Did you deal with any, like, a lot of times what people do is they'll take certain verses of the Quran, ayah, and they'll misquote them and they'll create doubt. Did you come across anything like this? And then
a lot of a lot of the war verses are the main ones that are taken out of context about, you know, attack the disbelievers and that. So I already knew these things going into the Quran. So, like, I was kind of trying to see what's the context of the verse before I prejudged it. And then when I'm looking at the context of the verse, I'm understanding, oh, it's not, you know, if someone's a non-Muslim and they hear that verse, they obviously think that it means attack all the disbelievers. But obviously it's a context of verse written at the time, you know.
And how, so then not long after you end up accepting Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, what, a month later?
Yeah. So, at the end of this holiday, I was sat in the, I was sat alone with my girlfriend. I had to explain to her, but I'm very fortunate that they have they were brought up in a Christian family, and they have a Muslim friend, a very pious Muslim sister at her work. So they already knew a lot of the teachings of Islam. So I sat down ready, thinking that was going to be a problem. She accepted that was going to be. And now even sometimes she's asking me questions. So I'm hoping, inshallah, maybe in the future, that's going to work out. And then after, I mean, maybe 1-2 weeks after that, when I come back off this holiday, there's a group in that go to Speaks Corner that do dawah, called the Yes Dawah. So I rang them because I didn't know any Muslims, you know, to take the shahada with at the time. I spoke with people in work, but I wasn't also comfortable with, on a personal level, with going to them. So I spoke with them again, and they took me through the basics of Islam, the pillars. And after that, I took shahada.
Mm-hmm. So, subhanAllah, how long has it been now?
6 months. That was in June. So, yeah, 6 months.
So you're still fairly new, huh?
Yeah, very new. Only just maybe a couple of months ago established getting the 5 prayers, and, you know, I'm trying to work through everything one by one.
Alhamdulillah, beautiful, mashallah. How is the, have your family, how are they, do they know about it? Have they been receptive, or have you not gotten quite there yet?
Yeah, so I've told everyone except my dad, but the only reason why I haven't told my dad yet is because whenever I've seen him, it's not been in the right environment. So we've been with, like, a lot of people in a sort of like a family setting or something. So I think, inshallah, that he's going to react okay. But just in case, I don't want to ruin the atmosphere, like, for everybody else, if, you know, they come to see each other. So next week I see him alone, actually, so I'm intending, inshallah, to speak with him. Hopefully everything's okay. I spoke with my mum as well. My mum, she was a little bit worried in the beginning, but, like, she knows that I wouldn't do anything crazy. So, and I remember when I took shahada, I had to stay with, normally I don't live with my mum, but I was staying there for like 1 week, 2 weeks. So she could see me going through the process of praying every day, trying to establish the prayers. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, she's been okay.
Any plans on getting married soon?
Yeah, that's the big plan.
Mashallah.
You see, that's the hard one because, you know, people, there's one Syrian brother in work, and like me and my girlfriend, we work together. So like, he's like, haram, haram. And I just accept that. I say, I know, brother, I know, I'm trying, like, you know.
Now, alhamdulillah, you took the greatest step forward. It all takes time. Everything, you know, has its place. And alhamdulillah, but you did the most courageous thing. The most beautiful thing is you went from submitting to your desires, submitting to the creation, to submitting to the one who created creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And alhamdulillah, you're seeking knowledge. And alhamdulillah, you're growing. And inshallah, may Allah, God Almighty Allah, preserve you and protect you. And put Thank everything, you, help you to get everything in order. Yeah,
you were a big help to me when I become before becoming a Muslim, because I remember I'm trying to find like reliable sources that I can trust. So I seen Faraz, you know, like through the MMA community, I'd watched Faraz's videos, and then obviously I'd watched the podcast with you, the first one, and then after that I started going through all your podcasts, like Muhammad Hijab, Sinead O'Connor, I think was the other one, and give me a lot of information. So Jazakallah khair, brother.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Alhamdulillah. We're so elated, happy to hear this wonderful story. And is there any advice that you give for people out there in a similar situations? They, a lot of times, again, they get influenced by the media, all the hype, but they're listening, they're watching right now, right? And they're in a similar situation. They're battling, you know, with depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Try to cover that up. They went towards atheism, or, you know, a lack of religion, or they're battling with the whole Trinity thing, whatnot. What do you tell them?
Yeah, I'd say speak to Muslims directly. You know, a lot of the times now, we see like a lot of like the intellectuals in the Western world, they're speaking about Islam, but they don't speak to Muslims. You know, like we see with Jordan Peterson, lately speaking with Muhammad Hijab, that was very beneficial. So speak directly to Muslims. I would say if they could speak with a Dawah group, because they're more, you know, they're more in touch with speaking to non-Muslims, giving information. So, you know, speak with them, go to the masjid. But yeah, the most important thing is don't listen to, you know, a lot of brothers can go astray listening to non-Muslims on Islam, but obviously they don't all have the best intentions, unfortunately.
Again, thank you. It's very, very nice to spend some time with you, James Dolan. And inshallah, you continue to tune in, and we'll inshallah be in touch. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Ameen. Wayak.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam.
Give salams to the brothers out there.
Salam to all the brothers and sisters watching.
Yes, salam alaikum. And thank you. Thank you very much, James. And for those people who are wondering, like, what's this book that he went and got right away afterwards? It's the Quran. It's right there. It's right there, the Quran. And we have a surprise for you. You can go ahead and pick it up. See what it says. And you can get it for free. Go ahead. TheDeanShow.com. You can pick up your free copy. And if you still have some questions, go ahead, give us a call. 1-800-662-4752. 1-800-662-ISLAM. And continue to tune in here to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you can get updated with all the latest story shows. Because we're not just trying to tell stories. We're trying to inspire and change lives for the better. So thank you guys for tuning in. This was an incredible story. Go ahead and share it. Go ahead and get it out. And we'll see you next time. You can also support us on the Patreon page. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.